It's always a blessing when the music is played around here. I appreciate every person that works so hard to do it. We're blessed. God is good. 2 Kings 5 tonight, the book of 2 Kings chapter 5. You can remain seated, but I want to read this story tonight. It's probably one of the most famous experiences in the life of Elisha. When you consider, though, that all the stories that we hear from Elisha, there's many great stories, many great miracles that take place. This passage of scripture in this story is about Naaman the leper, who was the captain of the Syrian army. So this man is a very great man as far as men of stature go. But the problem was, he was a leper. And so let's read the story, and then we'll definitely preach this. And by the way, I'll say this, that this is the one story in the Old Testament that Jesus uses and speaks about in Luke 4 in the New Testament. And it has to do with when Jesus said that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And he begins to talk about the Naaman, the leopard. He said there were many leopards in Israel, but there was one that was saved, or one that was healed, and that was Naaman, the Syrian captain of hosts. And it made them so mad, if you read the account in Luke 4, they wanted to kill him. And so that teaches me, the title of the message tonight is this: God's Word has the answers. It's what do we want to do with those answers? All right, so let's read the story, and I'll try not to make comment. Okay, I'm sorry. I might, but I'm going to try not to. All right, because if I do, I'll end up preaching it twice. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Okay, I lied. So you know that there was wars with Syria and Israel. We've seen that back and forth. To the victor goes the spoils. And so you see here that this woman, this maid, in one of these raids or one of these battles had been taken as a slave into captivity. And while it doesn't say it, he's the captain of the guard. He brings this maid and she waited on Naaman's wife. In verse number 3, now that right there, listen, and that's one of the highlights of this message is this: the providential hand of God. You can never take away the providence of God. God works in providence, in his providential hand. And so she said in verse number 3 to her mistress, so think about this, she's waiting on Naaman's wife and her husband has leprosy. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter into the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how ye seeketh the quarrel against me. So he's saying, he's just a ploy. He's just trying to get me to come out. He wants to fight. He wants to bring more territory. He wants to come back after us. Those Syrians, they're wicked and they're always trying to come at us. But why would he do it like this? Am I God? How can I get somebody, save somebody from leprosy? So in verse number 8, it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? What is this grievous thing that has come upon you?" He said this, "Let him, Naaman, come now to me, and he shall know there is a prophet in Israel." So you can see the correlation here of how God was telling, Jesus was telling those there in Luke 4 that a prophet has no honor in his own country. But here he says, "You send Naaman to me," and by the end of this story, he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his, listen, I love this. So you talk about pomp and ceremony and power and authority and chariots and horses. And so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sends a messenger to him. The man of God doesn't even come out. He sends his assistant pastor out. He goes, "Here's what you do. You just go out there and tell Naaman this." So Elisha sends a messenger unto him, and here's what he says. "Well, the man of God said, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Now, God works exactly like this, because here, listen, you cannot be saved unless you humble yourself before God. And this man had leprosy, which of course is probably the greatest picture of sin in the Old Testament. And when he finds out, remember, this guy's the captain of the army. He's a very proud man. And verse 11 said, "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, man, I thought this guy was going to come out and cast fire down out of heaven or do some kind of magic or touch me or whatever. He will surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." That's what man has in his mind. He doesn't have what God has in his mind. Then he goes on to say, he starts comparing the Jordan River. By the way, if you've ever been to the Jordan River, it's a very nasty river. It's real dirty. It's just dirty. And he says this, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned away in a rage. Isn't that something? That is a picture of when somebody hears the word of God, the simplicity of the truth of the gospel, and they say, "What? There's no magic? There's no pie in the sky? I mean, I thought that it would be something spectacular." No, it is when God shows a person their need of salvation, that they have repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's faith. It's by grace. Are you saved? Through faith. You have to believe God. You have to do what God says. Amen. And people say, "Or are not the waters of Pharpar and Abana much better? Can I work my way? Can I do this? I mean, you know, I've been baptized. I do this." And they go away in a rage because they thought it was some kind of voodoo or some kind of magic or somebody was going to, you know, take a wand and ostalashandai, untie your bow tie or whatever it might be. Speak in tongues. Roll your eyes in the back of your head. Astalai ashandai. Untie your bow tie. I didn't do it, did I, Jerry? I didn't read the text. I'm sorry. But I've tried. I try all the time. So y'all are going to get it twice. Then he went down. Well, wait, verse number 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean. Now praise God, he had some people around him that had some sense about themselves. And they said to him, Father, that's a term of endearment, master, father, boss. Hey, boss, if the man of God had asked you to do some great thing, would you have done it? And no doubt that Naaman has said, well, yeah, I would have felt much better about myself. But it's not by works of righteousness which ye have done. And so he goes, well, okay. And I'm going to tell you, to go down into the Jordan River as a captain of the host of Syria, you would have to humble yourself. And when you dipped into the pool, when you dipped into the Jordan, you would have to go down seven times. One, two, it's like doing half burpees. Three, four, think about this. And everybody's watching this. Five, help me, six, and seven. And he comes up out of the water. Humbled himself. So he goes down and he dips himself seven times in Jordan. Look at this. According to the saying of the man of God, and I love this, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all of his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Now if you'll go over to Luke chapter 4, I'll show you this passage of Scripture because I think I think we need to look at it, and then we'll move right into the passage because this particular passage of Scripture is the only time that Jesus spotlights the life and the ministry of Elisha. And in Luke chapter number 4, the Bible speaks about this in verse 23. And he said unto them, Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you a truth. And I'm telling you, people don't realize the truth of that statement right there. A prophet has no honor in his own country. But I tell you a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months when great famine was throughout all the land. So Jesus is highlighting two Gentiles here that God used in a mighty way. One was the widow woman that sustained Elias for three years and 6 months. And then verse 26, but unto none of them was Elias sent save unto Sceptre, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Verse number 27, this is where we're looking at the story. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saying Naaman the Syrian. Now notice what the reaction to this was. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him into the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong, but passing through the midst of them went his way. And then the Bible says he goes to Capernaum, and Capernaum was the place where Jesus Christ had great honor and people listened to the messages, and that's where the fishing business of Andrew and James and John was, and that's where Peter's mother-in-law was healed, and there's where the synagogue was that he spoke, and the man with the withered hand was healed, and et cetera, et cetera. But when he was back in his own land, back in his place where he grew up, he became common. And they said, Who is this? And he had no honor in his own country. And Jesus uses two examples And the story that we read here tonight was one of those examples. Now, the greater truth, and so in the context, it's Jesus talks about a prophet not being honored, but I want to preach tonight on the greater truth that we find here, and that is people are not willing always to listen to the Word of God. And if they are not willing to listen to the Word of God and transport it into their life and do what it says, they'll go away the same way that they came. But if they listen to the Word of God and they digest the Word of God and they do the Word of God and they obey the Word of God, then we will be changed and we will grow close to the Lord, and God can use us, because after all, it's about His honor and His glory and all of that. So we just got to understand that God's Word was true in the Old Testament, and God's Word is true in the New Testament. And the Old Testament is our ensample that we might learn things from the text. And the answer to the problems of life, listen to me, all problems in people's lives is found in the Word of God. You say, that just can't be true. But it is. There is a principle, there is a precept, or there is a direct word for every problem that man has. Yet people want to look everywhere they want to look, except the Word of God. And folks, that's why our nation is in the mess that it's in. I mean, they look to the government to help them. I mean, the government's going to take care of everything. The government has never done anything good but two things: build roads and a military. If you can tell me something outside of that, then I'll show you 10 things that they've done that's messed it up. We have so many laws in this country that you don't even know what the laws are anymore. But yet the Word of God has the answer. And the answer is found in the Word of God. People look everywhere. And in this case, listen, Elisha had the Word of God. And there was a little maid that had been taken captive, and she knew about Elisha. And she knew about the man of God. And if she knew about Elisha, you know what that meant? She knew about Elijah. Now, how old she was at this time, we don't know. She could have been 14 years old or 15 years old. She could have heard about the ministry of Elijah, now the ministry of Elisha. But she lived in Israel long enough and grew up to know there is a man of God. And I'm telling you, there's some things that the man of God's done, and there's things that he said. And she knew the stories, like the chariot of fire and the double portion of spirit that had been on the man, and how that the bears came out and ate the kids, and how that the widow woman had been was going to have her sons sold into slavery, and how the man of God gave the instructions, and on and on and on and on. And now we find ourselves in another story where the little maid says, "I tell you, I wish your husband could go to Samaria. I wish he could go to Samaria, because there's a man of God there and he would know what to do." Now, pride tells me this. Pride tells me that he didn't go seek the man of God. He goes to the king and said, "Hey, king, can you write a letter to the king? And we'll do it this way." Listen, and the king freaked him out in Israel. And then when Elisha heard that the king had rent his clothes and was in despair, by the way, God told him that, and he sends a messenger and he said, "Hey, you tell Naaman, don't come to the king of Israel. Don't go to the king of Syria. Come to the man of God. Come to where?" And when he comes, when it's all said and done, I'll show him that there's a prophet in Israel. Basically, now here's what we've said this time and time again, so you understand. We're not trying to elevate Elisha. We're trying to elevate God. Amen. And Elisha was the representation of God. He was the man of God. He was the prophet of the hour. He was the one that received instruction from God. He didn't have a King James Bible to pull out and say, "Thus saith the Lord." I'm glad I do. Amen. And when somebody comes to me, I can say, "Well, here's what the Bible says." That's what we do. But then in those days, they had to go to the prophet, and God would speak to the prophet, and then the prophet would speak to them. So let's talk about the problem here for a minute. and talk about Naaman and a man who had prestige and well respected and a captain, and we would consider that in our day like a general. In fact, it would be like the joint chiefs of staff. And he would, and by the way, can I say this? When Jesus mentions the two widow, that mentions Naaman and the widow woman, these were Gentiles that were not looked upon favorably by Israel. And we see here in the story that Naaman gets saved by God's grace. You know what that teaches me or tells me? That the grace of God is available to anybody. Amen. Even to Naaman. He would be considered very successful. He was a captain of the host. He was in favor with the king because the Bible says he was a great man with his master. He was honorable. He had achieved great success, but he had a problem. He had leprosy. Does everybody understand there's no cure for leprosy? You know, leprosy has pretty much been eradicated, but it's still around. There's still leopard colonies in India. Brother Sam Thomas said he was going to take me to one. And I just said, "Nah, I'm good." He goes, "Preacher, I think you need to see it." I said, "Brother, I've seen enough." I said, "My American sissy mentality, I've seen more than I'm seeing more than I can handle." And I'm telling you, it would probably do us all good sometime to go to a mission field like that. I saw things I'd never seen before. I saw poverty I'd never seen like that before. You see, I live in America, but even when we talk about inflation and how high things are and stuff like that, I don't know personally, and I'm not, I could be wrong, but I don't know personally anybody that goes to the garbage dump to look for food. I mean, we do have a system of our country. We are good people. When people come to Berean Baptist Church and they want money, I say, I'm not going to give you any money, but I'll give you food because I don't want anybody not to have a meal. I will always do that. But I'm not giving you money to go to Texas. Even though, because Texas don't need everybody down there either. But they're always going to Texas. And they, anyhow, so I'm just saying, we don't want to see people go through the cracks or anything like that. But you understand this man had leprosy. And in Israel, I mean, you read the Bible. I mean, if you go into the book of Leviticus like we do, and usually like, it's February, we usually read the book of Leviticus. And it's cold outside, and it's rainy, and it's cold. It's like, man, this is, leprosy ain't good, because every time I read it, it's always cold outside. Or snow or ice. And I don't know if God does that to us, makes us read Leviticus in February. Well, preacher, you could read. No, I have to read my Bible reading calendar. I've done it for like 10 years. I don't want to stop now. But you read about the leprosy and how it was contagious, and how that and people were placed in leopard colonies. They were ostracized from society, and their skin fell off. The flesh fell off of their hands. And they wrapped their hands in cloths and stuff like that. If you one place that shows this is the that Charlton Heston thing, not the Ten Commandments. Ben Hur shows that his sister and his mother had the leprosy, and how they lived down in the leper colony. And I was a kid when I watched this, and how they would put and I know that's a movie, I understand that, but it helps me to get a picture, and how they would put the fruit and the vegetables on top of that plank, and then they would roll that plank down there where the leopards were, and then the leopards would come out and get the food, and their face was covered up. Wow, because leprosy caused the flesh to fall off your face. And the flesh to fall off your arm. And it was like a deterioration. It was like a cancer on the outside of your body. And you say, I just can't believe God would do that. No, you know what God did in the Old Testament? He did this. He showed them that leprosy is what, like sin is on the inside. That with the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And there was no cure for leprosy. And if you got leprosy, it was a death sentence. It was just a matter of how long you could last. Does everybody, you understand what I'm saying? And here's a man, listen, here's a man who's wealthy. Here's a man who's at the top of the food chain. Here's a man that would be considered the high, I mean, Assyria. Assyria was one of the most powerful countries at this time. Assyria was very powerful. They were so powerful that they would go in and attack other countries, including Israel. And Ben-Hadad was one of the wicked kings of Syria. And now he finds out that his captain, his main man, his number one guy has got leprosy. You know what that means? He's going to die. And he was a mighty man of valor. But he had leprosy. What leprosy does to a person physically is the same as what sin does to a person spiritually. And if in Israel you did get leprosy and you were out into public until you got to a leper camp, you would have to say, unclean, 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 unclean. And when people would do that, they would run and they would hide and they would get away because it was very contagious. COVID.
COVID.
You know what masks proved? They don't work. Man, I am so glad. I just sometimes reminisce and think, boy, how easy it's going to be for the Antichrist. Tell us what to do, and people do it. I'll tell you, I bet you I wrote, Chris Gamble, how many letters did I write in 2020? 20 letters? I was on my face before God. I was in my closet. I was in my house. Lord, what do we do? And I was mad the whole time, you know, in my spirit. I'm like, I can't believe they can tell us we got to wear a mask. I'm just telling you, that made me angry. And I ripped that thing off as soon as I could. And the only place I wore it is when I was flying because they made me. But I was mad the whole time I was doing it. Because I don't like government telling me what to do. I don't like a government telling us we can't assemble together. And I'll tell you, we don't know what's the next calamity. But they're all trying to... And then I think about these people of leprosy. They put them in a camp. Eugenics was the word I was trying to think of this morning. Anybody ever heard that word? Eugenics? It means the society don't like the way that you look. Society don't like the way that you act. So we're going to put you away. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a group of people in our country who would like to do that to Christians. They don't like the way we think. And all we're trying to do is just, listen, we believe as God's people, as we learned in Sunday school this morning, we believe in soul liberty. Yeah. I went in the military to fight for your right to believe whatever you want to believe. Just leave me alone to let me worship how I see and how I want to pastor a church and follow the Word of God. And the Baptists have always been like this. We've always believed that, and we've always been persecuted for us. Now we come to a place in our society where people they don't like what we have to say. But praise God, we still live in America right now that we have the First and the Second Amendment. Amen. And we have the Second Amendment so that we can make sure that the first one stays intact. And people don't like here to say that. Help us, Lord. You know what? Naaman had everything you could want, except nobody wants leprosy. He had a major problem he couldn't solve. It was called leprosy. A leopard would be a walking dead man, and Naaman was doomed to death outside of God's intervention. And as I've already told you, leprosy is a picture of sin, condemned and no hope outside of the intervention of God. And aren't you glad that when you get saved, it was because God intervened? It was because God made a way that we might be saved. All we have to do is accept His way of salvation into our life. We don't have to work for it. Sin is the great curse of man. And nothing man does can eradicate sin. Christ is the only one that is still able to save those to the uttermost. And the only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. And there's always people go, well, preacher, you say that all the time. Yeah, because there's people listening. Amen. Did you know last month there was 15 different countries that tuned into our live stream? So I don't know who's listening, but I want to make sure that we proclaim the gospel. Now here's the second thing. So the problem was leprosy, but here's what I love, the providential hand of God. Now every person can go back in their life and see the providential hand of God. I can do that very easily. God provoked me to go into the Air Force. He provoked me. He did it through a patriotic time of our country when I was sitting in front of my TV watching the Olympics and there was hostages in Iran. And Jimmy Carter didn't know the left hand from the right hand. I'm just being honest. And by the way, in school, I was a Democrat. My dad was a Democrat. You know what caused me not to be a Democrat anymore is I got saved. Anyhow, I know it's a different. Oh, you can't say that. Well, I just did. Anyhow. And I saw that there was a presidential election going on, and I saw a man who stood up and said, we need to have a strong military, and if I become president, we're gonna get the Iran hostages out, and I will do something about it. And then I saw a man who did not have the leadership skills and my ability, and then I was sitting in front of my TV. And I was watching the Olympics, and we won the gold medal against Russia. Everybody remember that? I was patriotic, and I said, I'm going to join the Air Force. You know what that was? I didn't realize it at the time. That was the providential hand of God. Because in the military, God sent me on a journey so that, and by the way, that guy got elected, and our hostages got out, and we rebuilt the military. And you can be politically whatever you want, but I'm telling you that's what happened at that time. And our military was built back up, and we had strong defense, and we deterred a lot of things. Now that's the truth, because I sat under it as a military guy for 6 out of the 8 years that he was in office, and I got saved during that time. You know what that's called? The providential hand of God. And if I hadn't went in the military, I would have probably never got out of my little circle there. And I'd have grown up like a whole lot of people did in my area when I got out of high school. But God's hand was working. And then I came to this church. That's a providential hand of God. I'm just saying, everybody can look in their life and see the providential hand of God. It was the providential hand of God that this little maid was in Naaman's house. Now, I don't think that she was all happy about her situation, but let me just tell you this. She was the one person that had the truth. And there's no such thing as luck or chance or accidents, but there is a such thing as the providential hand of God. And the Word of God teaches us that there are divine designed events orchestrated by God, and that should encourage us and let us know that God is in control. Amen. Even when we don't understand. I'd say the truth is, listen to this. She was better off than Naaman, the little maid. He was a captain and she was a captive. But he was a leopard and she knew God. Is everybody getting this? Who is better off? In the providence of God, we can say that this little maid was captured so that she might be able to bring God to a pagan man who did not know God and only worshiped heathen idols. Isn't it amazing that the high position of Naaman brought no answer, but there was a little maid that took care of his wife who knew God? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than all the world has to offer. And you know what? Now let's think about this. And I know I'm trying to cut this short if I can, but I can't. You know where she learned all this? In her house. Growing up. She didn't ask to be taken captive. But she knew who the man of God was. And she knew that the man of God had the answer. And without a good home, I'm going to tell you, I wrote it down like this. Without a good home, the nation sinks and the church stinks. What a great providential hand of God. I wonder how we would have acted if we'd have been the little maid. Well, he's getting what he deserves. The judgment of God, that's what he deserves. Took me captive, brought me into this place. Would we have been so upset about our situation that we would have refused to give the truth, or we would have spoken out and given a testimony for the Lord and told him where the real answer was? I'm telling you, my friend, tonight the answer is not in politics. And it's not in education. And it's not in money. It's in the Word of God. Look at verse number 8. I'm getting there. Verse number 8. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, I bet it was this same servant. This guy got to do a lot of stuff, didn't he? He said to the king, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Tell that guy, whoever he is, to come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So he rides up, very proud, very esteemed, with his entourage. I could just see him pulling up to the man of God's house. All right, come on out and throw some dust in the air, or wave your wand, or do whatever it is. Elijah looks out the door and goes, oh, there's Naaman. He says to his assistant, go out there and tell him to dip 7 times in the Jordan. So he comes out. Now, I'm just surmising this. And Naaman looks down at the servant and says, are you the man of God? He goes, no, sir. Well, who are you? Just the servant of the Lord. Well, what does that mean? Well, I serve my master. Who's your master? The man of God. And he sent you? Does he not know that I'm the captain of the guard? Yeah, he knows everything about you. He knows you got leprosy. He's got some instructions for you. Okay, what is it? Go dip in the Jordan 7 times. What? We rode our horses through the Jordan. That's the nastiest place I've ever been in. I had to wash my horse after it was all over with. Maybe you don't think the Bible's cool, but I do. And he goes away in a rage and begins to call out about his waters, Pharpar and Arbana. Pharpar and Arbana. Why can't I go wash in those rivers? Because there ain't no salvation. Amen. Where God didn't say there was. And can you see this? This is such a picture of works. Pride. Yes. No, you got to humble yourself, Bubba. And you got to go dip in the 7. I'm not going to do it. And so finally some very intelligent people say, hey, boss, if the man of God had asked you to do some kind of mighty work, would you have done it? Well, yeah, and I'd have felt a whole lot better about myself. Why can't you just do what the man of God says? Is everybody getting this? Why can't you just do what the Word of God says? Instead of trying to figure it out on your own. Especially men, we always want to fix things. God has the answer. The answer is still in the Word of God. When you try to find the answer outside of the Word of God, you'll be listening to people like Dr. Phil. We all have foolish pride. The message didn't fit Naaman's idea of a proud government protocol. And after all, he was no ordinary man. He was the head of the military. And he shouldn't be treated like this. Listen, when you come to the cross, it's level for everyone. Today, people, listen to this. Today, people are looking for the spectacular. If you preach sensationalism, then tomorrow you'll have to be more sensational than you were today. Now, this is the way Brother Gray taught to me, and I'm just telling you like this. If you feed them a hot dog to get to church, you'll have to give them a hamburger to keep them coming. And they wouldn't be coming for the right reason anyway. Isn't it amazing people will show up for fellowships and singing? But if you say, well, what do you have down at your church? Preaching. What else you got? Preaching. Well, we're looking for entertainment. Then you're not looking for the answers from the Word of God. Because while I like singing, singing don't give you the answer. It puts you in the right frame of mind to hear the Word of God. But I'm telling you, people are looking for something that will appeal to the flesh instead of understanding that the answer is found in the Word of God. Here's how it says in the New Testament. They're looking for a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And the Word of God says, from such, turn away. I want to know what those the Bible say. And even though the captain of the host didn't like Elisha's choice of rivers, there's only one way for him to be healed. And that was to follow the instruction of God's Word. Today, the cross is so offensive to many. When you start talking about the blood of the cross is the way of salvation, people don't like that. They want something like Farpar or Arbana. And the blood of Jesus is the only thing that can cover sin and give forgiveness, because Jesus said, God said that it's the blood that is the propitiation for our sins. It is the only way of salvation. Naaman had a pride problem, and until he dealt with his pride problem, there would be no salvation. Now, pride comes in various forms, but the bottom line is if you don't humble yourself before God, there is no salvation. Salvation is God's plan, not man's plan. And Elisha didn't cater to the pride of Naaman. You know, a lot of people do. Well, he's got a lot of money, so I don't want to preach anything that would offend him. No, the Word of God is the Word of God. Salvation, service, stewardship, standards, they're still in the Word of God. And pride will keep us from God's greatest blessings. And only until we submit ourselves can we get the answers from God. By the way, God had the answer to leprosy. Go dip in the Jordan 7 times. It's pretty much a humbling experience to confess you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. But I'm so glad that I did when God spoke to my heart. It's humbling to come by the way of the cross. It's humbling to confess our sins. And by the way, that's not just in salvation. That's in when we're saved. I think that was spoken about last week. And by the way, the power of God changed his life. He came up out of that thing 7 times and he looked at himself, and the Bible says that it was like baby flesh. Now, I don't know about you, but I love baby flesh. They're so cute. And I'm sorry, but I got Landon now. I can do his little chin. I can preach him on the face. Got little ears. I love it. I wonder if that meant that when he got to be 65 years old, he only looked like he was 15. Because I don't look like I'm 15 anymore. People my age, they go to the doctor and they go, what are these spots? They just came up on it. And the doctor goes, those are age spots. Well, why do I have them? And the doctor goes, I'll have to let you figure that out. I love verse 15. This is a statement of faith. Look at verse 15. And he returned to the man of God. He stood, and he and all his company. So now listen, this is a testimony to all those that are with him. This not only affected Naaman, but all those were with him. And he came and he stood before him and he said, behold, now I know there's no God in all the earth but in Israel. Isn't that good? That's called a statement of faith. And Paul said, I know whom I have believed. John said, these things are written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Listen to me. I can't overemphasize this tonight. God's word still changes lives. The answer to life's problems do not come in all of the things that the world has to offer. They're found in the Word of God. That's why the preacher says, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Are you listening to God? Are you reading your Bible every day? And not just reading it to read it. Hey, it's okay if you get behind in your reading because you're going, I need to find out what this is. I need to study this. The world has problems, man has problems, God has answers. But isn't it amazing that everybody's looking for answers and everybody's looking for answers in everything but God's Word? He has the power to change people's lives. His providence comes about bringing us to a place where we can humble ourselves and trust Him. Hey, listen, if I've been asked, would you do it anything different? I'd do it just the same way. I'm glad I'm not everything I should be. I know that, and don't ask my wife because she could tell you. But I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. Amen. And I'm glad my life has changed. Amen. Since the day I got saved when I was 24 years old. Amen. And I don't want to go back. And you know what? Who wants to go back to leprosy when you got baby skin? Who wants to go back to leprosy? So do what God says. If you need to repent, repent. Humble yourselves. Dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan. And that'll take humility. But God is good. And by the way, let me say it like this. If you've grown up in this church, that's the providential hand of God. I just want to do an old man speech for just a second. I'm disturbed by the young people that are leaving the church. And I hear preachers talk about people in families that are good, godly families and have been brought up, and then they reject the gospel or they go down the tube somewhere. It's heartbreaking. And there's no reason that it should be that way. Not if you read your Bible. Listen to the Word of God. Amen. You know why? Because God's Word has the answers. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed. Great story about Naaman. We've got another story that follows it up that's not so good. It's concerning the servant that gave all of those directions. Servant went here, servant went there. Servant thought Elisha should take something. Elisha said, hey, I'm just here to do the will of God. And so it doesn't turn out good for him, but we'll look at that at the next time. Lord, thank you for the life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray people would repent and put their faith in you for salvation. May people that are unsaved see themselves as a leper tonight, because that's what they are. And they're dying on the inside while the leopard is dying on the outside. I pray that God's people tonight, those that are saved by the grace of God, would be thankful for the providential hand of God in their life, directing them in such a way that we might have fellowship and give Him honor and give Him glory. Thank you, Lord, for the providence of God in my life that brought me to the place where I could truly hear the gospel and be saved. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you that you allow me to pastor these people who are some of the most amazing servants on the face of the earth. God, I am overwhelmed, and I don't want to not give you glory and honor for how you worked in our life. We know that everything is not perfect, but we know that you're a good and a gracious God, and your hand works in ways that we can't see. We don't see the big picture, but we can trust you because we know that you do. So help us to give you honor and glory tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing what...